Well, I'd like to write on the board this morning a little title. I've written on the board, Representatives of Father God. Today is a special day, and it brings to mind special realities. And I'd like to remind you this morning of what is arguably one of the most important realities to each one of us today. And I'd like to read it out of the third chapter of John and the 16th verse. It reads this way, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Today is set apart to recognize fathers, and my mind has been thinking about our Heavenly Father. I've been thinking about who He is and what He is and what He means to us and the desire that He has of us as earthly fathers to be representatives of His love and His care. This verse says that God so loved the world. There are a lot of people that love the world today. There's a lot of people that love the temporal things of life. But this says that for God, the one that created all things, the heavens and the earth, the one that created us, the same God that Jesus Christ prayed to in the garden, this verse said that God so loved that He gave. He so loved that the earth and those that He had created, that He gave the most precious thing that He had, that we might be drawn, that we might be reconciled to Him, that we might be able to have a place in His family, be able to sit at His table and call Him Father. This scripture tells us in the 17th verse that He didn't come to prepare a way for condemnation, but He came to prepare a way of salvation. He came to prepare a way of life. And when He could have come to judge us and condemn us to death, He didn't. But rather, Jesus Christ came to bring us life, and He gave. And I'd like to consider, if you will, for a few moments this morning, what Jesus brought and showed us as a representative of His Father with His life on earth. Jesus made it personal, and Jesus showed us how practically speaking, that we could live our life, and I'm thinking especially of fathers today, in a way that would be representative of His Father, and in a way that would draw people to Him. One of the things that I thought of when I was reflecting on Jesus was that He came and He taught us how to pray. Jesus taught and showed us the importance of prayer. And He taught His disciples and He said, and by extension us, and He said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, not on earth, not somebody like us, but our Father, which is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And He taught us to pray that we would seek His will in earth as He sought, had His will in heaven. And we're part of earth. Jesus taught us to pray that, Lord, we desire that You would have Your will done in my life as Your will is done in heaven. Jesus prayed with humility. And the Scriptures teach us that there were different times that Jesus went apart to pray to the Father, teaching us the importance of that too. Jesus taught the importance of teaching. And Jesus took time to teach, both formally and informally. If you notice, Jesus didn't miss, it didn't seem anyway, many opportunities to teach. And informally, He might be with His disciples and going down the road and something would happen and He'd say, hey, look, see that? See that tree? Look, do you see how that person, that group is acting? Look, do you see what nature looks like over here? And then He would relate those things that they saw and that they encountered in life. And there were other times, in a more formal way, the Lord would set the multitudes down and He would teach, break the bread of life. Jesus recognized the importance of taking time to teach. He taught and showed us what mercy looked like when undeserved. When the woman caught in adultery was brought before Him, He said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. When He looked and He saw the thief on the cross that had no more opportunity to really do anything that he could put his finger on to earn eternal life. He was hanging on a cross. His life was a life that was unrighteous. And Jesus saw his heart change. And He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord showed us and taught us what mercy looked like. He showed us what faithfulness looked like in the midst of hardship and oppression. When He felt forsaken and alone, perhaps misunderstood, Jesus was willing to continue to be faithful even by Himself. When His own loved ones turned away from Him and ran, when His own loved ones went to sleep when He needed them the most, when He was accused of things that were so contrary to who he was, Jesus remained faithful. And he showed us what faithfulness looked like, even when it might have been tempting to do something different. The Lord showed empathy and sympathy to other people. And he mourned with those that mourned. And he looked upon the plight of humanity, those things that caused us sorrow, and he sorrowed with them. And he sorrows with us. The Lord showed care and concern for those that turned away from him. And the scripture says that he wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together under my wings as a hen doth her chickens. And I would have protected you, and I would have given you all that you had need of, but you wouldn't." And he wept over those that turned away from him. He showed such unconditional divine love. We sing a song that says, "Behold what love." With all of these things, there's more things that could be said. Jesus said this. He said, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." And he lived this example in front of us and then reinforced and said, "Listen, these things that you see me do." The person, the being that you see that I am, you have seen the Father. And thus the Scripture truly says, God is love. Jesus showing us what that meant, what a beautiful picture that the Lord brought to us of God the Father and the care that he has for each one of us. And this morning, to the brethren, to the men, to fathers to be, the Lord has called us to a very high calling that cannot be substituted. The Lord is calling us as fathers to be imitators of Christ and by extension himself. The Lord is calling us to be spiritual leaders in our homes and outside of our homes. The Lord is calling us as fathers to be representatives of his Father in heaven, to show his love through our lives and the examples that we are. In the 46th chapter of Psalm, in the first verse, it said, "God," and I'm saying this part, "who is our Father, is our refuge and our strength." God, who is our Father, is the one that we can turn to, the one that we can turn to and know that it's a safe place to go. The Lord is a Father to us that has demonstrated time and time again that you can come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me with your guilt. Come to me with your sin. Come to me with your mistakes. Come to me with your unrighteousness. Come to the one that will be a refuge and a strength. One that will help you in your time of need. It said a very present help in trouble. A God, a Father that is there and present. That's available. That has time to give to us. That we don't have to worry about, will He be there? Will He have time for me? Will I be able to reach His throne? Will I have to stand in a long line? No. The Scripture said, a very present help in trouble. And Peter said in the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, that He is not slack concerning His promise. The writer of Hebrews said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God, our Father, is reliable and He's faithful and He's consistent and He can be counted upon just as we are called to be as earthly fathers. Often children grow up and view God similar to how they view their father. Not always, but often. Particularly in their youth and adolescence. They look at their father, and then they're taught about a Father God in heaven. And that is a relation, a connection that is made. And we as fathers have a great responsibility. And those that will be fathers, we have a great responsibility in our homes to not be slack concerning the promise, the love, the responsibilities that we have for our home, our children, our wife. I was blessed to have one of the very best earthly fathers. And it helped frame how I grew up viewing God in heaven. I'd like to relate a couple things to you. When I was young, pretty young, I was out washing our van. Had just been painted brand spanking new metallic blue. Keith's dad, I think, had painted it. And I was out washing it, and I wasn't very old. And the neighbor girl came over to our house to help me wash the van. And she so kindly brought some devices with her to help remove any grime that might be difficult to get off. And the devices she brought to help do that were in the form of SOS pads. That's a steel wool for those of you that aren't sure what that is. And so on a brandly new painted van, we began to wash with SOS pads till we realized there was something going on that shouldn't be going on. And we quietly put the SOS pads to the side. I believe my dad wasn't home yet. Another time, I was standing out in the middle of the street, heaving my basketball towards the basketball goal that was mounted on the side of our house, on the front of our house, trying to make a basket from the middle of the road. And one time the basketball went on top of the house, and it rolled down the side of the house, the roof, and hit a fence that was on the side of our house, and bounced off of the fence and just perfectly, couldn't have planned it better, went right through the garage window. Broke the window. And you know what? For washing the new painted van with SOS pads, breaking the window in the garage because I was heaving a basketball from the middle of the road, I received almost no discipline. I think my dad recognized that that wasn't a heart issue. It was a judgment issue that could be corrected. That was a mistake, and I was probably harder on myself than he could have been on me for those errors. But when it came to disrespect and disobedience, and crossing boundaries that weren't mine to cross, correction and discipline were close behind in a godly way. Because he was interested in me turning into something where I could one day be an example as best as I could of the Father in heaven to those that came after me. He wasn't trying to show me that he was boss in his correction, make sure I understood he was the man and I was the child and he would enforce his correction upon me. That wasn't the point. It was to build character. And it was to help me understand how to respect God in heaven. And that it meant something to respect God in heaven. Well, correction wasn't all of my upbringing. I have early memories of my dad playing with me at night in bed, laughing and feeling warm, not so much because of what he was doing with the stuffed animal, but because of the feeling of warmth and love that I felt. And that extended on throughout my life, maturing past stuffed animals to relationships that involved heart conversations. And all of these things helped frame my view of God in heaven. Godly fathers are willing to take responsibility to live balanced lives and to recognize that there are little hearts and little minds that will imitate and will be greatly affected by the life of their own father. The psalmist said of the Word that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. Why? For what? To help safely lead us home. Jesus being our great shepherd. And God desires that we as fathers take the responsibility to do everything that we can to help safely lead our children and those that we have influence over so that they too can make it safely home and help lead them to the Father which is in heaven. Again, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And as fathers, I believe that Christ wants us to live as best as we can so that when our children see us, that we can be representatives of the Father in heaven. My grandfather, Murphy, told my uncle, he said, if you see me do it, it's okay for you to do it. If you don't see me do it, it's not okay for you to do it. That's quite an exhortation, isn't it? May God help us all as fathers to be able to live in that way. And so this morning, I wanted to leave a few things with us as men and as fathers. Like Jesus, fathers, take time to teach in your home. Take time to teach your children, both informally and formally. Take the time to stop and use life events that are happening in real time to help impress upon their minds spiritual truths. Take time out in the evenings to have family worship and teach the word of the Lord. Teach your children how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. He gave us an example. May the Lord help us in our homes that we too can show our family, our wives, our children, the importance of talking to our Father in heaven. Let your children, dads, let your children hear you pray. It's important for moms to pray. This isn't a Mother's Day message, and so I won't go there, but mothers have such an impact on their children in ways that fathers simply can't have. Mothers are able to reach the hearts of children in ways that just doesn't seem like was given to fathers. But there's a place for fathers to pray from their hearts to their Father in heaven. It's so impactful to the children that are listening and that are being influenced. Show your family what it looks like for the father and the head of the home to, with humility and from the heart, pray to their Father which is in heaven. Be willing and ready to correct when correction is needed. Even when it's not popular and it's not convenient, be willing to step up to the plate and correct and establish boundaries, God-given, Word of the Lord boundaries for your children so that they know the difference between right and wrong. I feel like today that so much is wrong in the world because of the absence of godly fathers in the home. And that if the world had homes where godly fathers existed and where children heard their fathers pray and where children had fathers that were willing to teach them consistently from their youth, and when they had, if they had fathers that were willing to correct them when they crossed those boundaries, we wouldn't live in a world where it seems like all boundaries are disappearing, and that everybody can create their own boundaries, and that you can define for yourself what is right and what is wrong, even if it crosses into somebody else's personal space. Even if it crosses the word of the Lord, if that's what you want, well, that's okay. It's not okay. And God wants us as fathers. That's where it starts. Schools have a place. Yes, we send our children to school, but they don't take the place of godly fathers in the home. May God help us to be godly fathers. And I'll insert this. Fathers don't always get it right. My dad made mistakes, and he apologized for them. Be willing to say, I'm sorry. It's okay as a father. It's okay as the head of the house. It's okay as a man to be humble and to say, I erred. I didn't understand everything completely. I didn't understand the whole situation, and I made a mistake, and I ask for your forgiveness. That will have more impact often than even praise of a child will. A child recognizing that their father is willing to say, I'm sorry. May the Lord help us as fathers to be willing to be consistently faithful when we too are misrepresented. You know that as fathers in your own homes, there will be times when your children do not understand where you're coming from. They don't understand why you're making the decision that you're making. They may feel like that you are in error and not being fair to let them do whatever it is that they want to do. And you might feel alone in that. And it may be difficult. But God called men to be fathers first and to be friends second. There'll come a day where you can be friends, where you can be more open, when you're able to talk and reason with a child that's no longer a child anymore. Be willing to be faithful and consistent and reliable to, with love and humility, set boundaries, teach truth, pray when perhaps there are those that don't feel like praying. Be a godly example. Prioritize spiritual things. Prioritize things that put us in a place where we get to know what the word of the Lord is. Prioritize being in church service. It's important. Consistently being in church service. Prioritize it. Your children, they learn from it. They imitate it. If it's not important to you, it's probably not going to be that important to them. It's important. Prioritize teaching out of the word of the Lord each day as much as is possible. Have family worship with your children. Prioritize serving other people. It's important for your children to recognize that life is not all about me, myself, and I, but that God gave Himself that we might be saved, and that He is calling on us to give of ourselves that we might be a help to other people and show others God the Father through our lives. Teach your children character, the importance of doing right even when no one else is looking. Teach your children love, even in the face of them doing wrong. Look for opportunities to give mercy and to show mercy. We are so desperate for the mercy of God on our lives. And how can we as fathers in the home show no mercy when we in turn ask for the mercy of God on our own lives. Doesn't mean that we throw away truth. Doesn't mean we throw away boundaries. Doesn't mean that we ignore those things that need to be made right. But it means that we love and we show mercy and we understand the balance between when it's time to correct and discipline and when it's a teaching moment that mostly involves mercy. Being a father is indeed a high calling, and we don't always get it right as earthly fathers. But let's strive. Let's strive to be of the number that endeavors to represent God the Father, which is in heaven. Well, in closing, I feel a little bit this morning like I'm singing to the choir. We are a blessed people. This congregation is a blessed congregation. The Lord has given to us many wonderful, faithful, God-fearing men and fathers. And I want you to know how much that is appreciated. Not only do we have such wonderful fathers in the congregation here that live an example for others to follow, but we are blessed with strong spiritual men who are willing to stand and be counted outside of the home and help be a strength to us here, even among our church family and service. The decisions that you have made are of tremendous value and have far-reaching impact, not only on the lives that perhaps are immediately around you, but on the lives that are to come, if God spares time, because of the influence that you have had on those that have gone before those that will come. And to the women and to the wives that are here today, to the children that are here, yes, earthly fathers don't get it all right. And we make mistakes, and we too are on a journey where we learn. And we have to make things right that we didn't do right. We look back with regret on things often that we wish that we would have done differently. But take time out to thank the fathers and men that are in your life that you have received good from their hand by the grace of God. Godly fathers and godly men have an impact that is so far-reaching. I'm thankful that we have a God in heaven that took time out to teach us what godliness looks like and what good looks like in the home, in teaching, in praying, being faithful, showing love. Jesus Christ did that for us as an example. To the fathers that are here today, happy Father's Day. And may God bless each of you in your lives and to those that perhaps one day will be fathers. May these words of truth be written on your hearts, that the Lord by His Spirit can work through you, that you too might be representative, faithful representative of Father God in heaven. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.